It's that character that is able to carry the weightiness of what God is doing in the earth. Yeah. He's looking for people he can entrust himself to. One of the most significant truths to really be embraced and taught on in the last 20 plus years has been the whole concept of impartation. It's just such a rich truth, because there can be a grace, an anointing, a gifting on one person's life, and they can pray for someone else, and they actually start functioning in that area. But what's kind of humorous to me, just forgive me for my sense of humor again, but what's kind of humorous to me is oftentimes people will come and ask for prayer for something that is actually a mark of maturity. You can't get through maturity through impartation. If only that were true, man, we could just line up and be like Paul tomorrow, you know. Yeah. Maturity comes from choices, making decisions. So you can pray for someone, you can be 1 minute old in Jesus and pray for somebody who has cancer and they can be healed. The gifting didn't come from years in Christ. It just came from grace. The maturity comes when you are now faced with decisions. What are you going to do with the fact somebody just got healed through you? Do you think it's your significance? Do you think you are the source of the gift? Do you think you are the source of the faith? How is the story shared? Is it shared with you at the center or Jesus? And all we do in those moments is the Lord is actually measuring what realm or measure of glory can we live with, can we carry? See, the original target of the Lord for every person was to actually live in the glory of God. And just for simplicity's sake, we'll define the glory as the manifested presence of Jesus. It's the actualized presence of God. And so the scripture says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So sin means to miss the mark. So sin causes people to miss God's intended target. What was the intended target? The glory of God. To live in the manifested presence of Christ. Not just as a point of theology, not just as a point of doctrine, I am in Christ, he is in me. But more than that, an actualized, realized reality that we live from. Where we see the God of Scripture appear in unusual ways and rest upon people in unusual ways, the manifestations in the temple or tabernacle, that is actually the manifestation that is potentially a part of everybody in this life who has a personal relationship with Jesus. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, missed the mark. What does salvation do? It restores us to the target. It doesn't restore us halfway to the target so that in heaven we can get the rest.
Yeah, that's good.
When Jesus said it was enough, he actually meant, I did everything needed to accomplish the original plan. And so Jesus intends to live, lives in us, rests upon us. But there are measures of presence that are yet to be discovered that have been discovered in prior generations. This isn't the subject today, so I've got to be careful not to get too lost into that. But let me just say this. His desire is to fully reveal himself, who he is, upon his people, fully. But the weightiness of that revelation would crush many people who are following the Lord, because there are fractures in their thinking, fractures in their values. It's not that they don't genuinely love Jesus. It's just they have a weakness in their foundation that needs to be revealed gently and carefully so that the Lord can bring healing there. It is true. It is true. The Lord's not afraid of bringing junk up in our life, bringing it to the surface, but he brings it to the surface so it can be dealt with. He never brings it to the surface to shame us or to mock us. He only brings it out so that we will see what he's been seeing all along. What confession is we just make agreement with what he already knows to be true.
Yeah.
Oh, God, forgive me. I'm so arrogant and proud. He says, yeah, I knew that. That's not a shock to me. I just allowed you to see it in this situation that you're just very self-centered. So we're going to break that. And what happens? He brings it to the surface so that we can acknowledge it. Because once we deeply confess and repent, he gives us the grace to forsake that which kept us in bondage. All right, back to the subject. So the choices that we have throughout life are where the muscle of integrity, the muscle of character is developed. In lifting weights, for example, If you lift a light weight 100 times, it's not going to build muscle. It's when you build something, it's when you lift something that really pushes your capacity. And maybe you can only lift that thing 3 times, but it's the third time that works the most.
Yeah.
It's the hardest lift. That's what actually accomplished the most. And when we have difficult situations rise up in our life, it's always for the purpose of building character. It's never to shame. It's never to mock. It's never to intimidate or humiliate. It's always the invitation to come into Christ, into a place of greater strength. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. Think through this now. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is God's will in Christ concerning you. One of the most overwhelming, one of the most frequently repeated prayers or requests from this family of believers, especially including our school, is this heart to know God's will for our life. And generally what that is reduced to is, God, do you want me to be a missionary or a veterinarian or school teacher or pastor or whatever? We want to do what he wants us to do. It's a legitimate prayer. It's a legitimate request. I'm not sure God's as concerned about that as he is about this. This says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ concerning you. This is the will of God for my life. I remember as a young man, starting to pastor in Weaverville, I was reading through Thessalonians, reading through these verses, and these verses just jumped out at me. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. And I came face to face with the fact, man, I could only have those three verses and it would take the rest of my life for me to learn it. I mean, if I had nothing else to read but those three verses, I'd have a full-time job ahead of me, because to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, it just means you have disciplined responses to levels of difficulty and challenges and opportunities that you face. You have disciplined responses that help to form and to shape the character in us. And remember, it's that character that is able to carry the weightiness of what God is doing in the earth.
Yeah.
He's looking for people he can entrust himself to. The whole impartation idea came as I've been thinking for years. I wish if there's one thing I could ask of the Lord to be able to impart to people, it would be a thankful heart.
Wow.
You just don't get it through impartation. You get it through choices.
Yeah.